Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here today. Even if you ain't glad you're here today, I'm glad you're here today. As we look in Luke chapter 10. Start reading down at verse 38. As we're getting down to the end of the chapter here, the Bible says this: Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. While we look at this passage of Scripture today, I want to talk to you today about serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. I've noticed that as we gather into this part of this Bible here, we're looking at two women, a contrast between two women. And as we look at this thing, you need to know where they're at. They're at Bethany, at Martha's house. Actually, it says it was her house there. And Bethany was on the Mount of Olives near Jerusalem. And from what I understand, that's 2,500 feet above sea level. And down on one side was the desert, which was a breeding ground for the prophets of God. But on the other side was Jerusalem. As you look down on both of them, that's the place, according to Luke 13:34, where they're ready to kill the prophets. So you had prophets over here and people ready to kill them over here. And up here is a resting place before Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem. If you look at the dates in a Scofield Bible, you're looking at AD 32 going into 33, the last year of our Lord. He's headed, knowing where he's going. He stops off for a rest here. And what happens in this passage of Scripture, I think a lot of people look over this, they read past it in a hurry to get to Luke chapter 11 or get to the next place or whatever, and I think it'd do us well to just calm down and look at what's said here that would help us while we serve the Lord. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you today. We pray, God, for you to help us today and open our eyes to the truth today. Lord, according to Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, while we look into the Word of God today, help us, Lord, as we want to serve you today and do what you want us to do. And we pray, God, that you'll help us to do just that very thing. And, Lord, to serve you and give us what we need today from this passage of Scripture so we can do that and, Lord, and follow after you and all that's said and done. And we ask all this today in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we look, there's two notable things in the service of the Lord. And both of them are seen right here. And we need to have both of them. Number one, if you'll notice what happens here, is the complaint by Martha. I have never met a God-called servant of God, whoever that may be, that served without complaint. You know why? Because it happens. It'll happen to you if you ain't careful. Don't ever complain about it. That's all some of you do is complain. You need to listen up very carefully. Quit the complaining. It's necessary, but it ain't needful 100%, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
I finally found a sign that they said, open 24-5. I think we need to go back to 24-5. This running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, our machines are flying apart, our cars are flying apart, our people's flying apart. I learned one thing back the last few years, this little COVID thing was the best thing of it. They wasn't cars on the road all the time. The stores wasn't full all the time. They wasn't open 24 hours a day. And it seemed like this world got a rest.
Amen.
He got some other things, but that was the bet. Look at the positive thing, if you can, at anything, right? I noticed a lot of things worked a whole lot better under that term. And I think we need to go back to it. Make nighttime a time for sleeping. There should only be two things open after about 7, 8 o'clock, and that's the police department and hospital. Amen.
Amen.
I think we'd all be better off if we went back to that. I remember growing up like that, and I'm not that old, am I? Okay. But notice this, the complaint by Martha. The silent sister shows up in verse 38, says, "Now it came to pass they went into a certain village, certain woman named Martha received them into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." I notice that she not only sits at Jesus' feet, but in John 11:32, she fell at Jesus' feet. And then in John 12:3, she anointed his feet for burial, and you continually find Mary sitting at Jesus' feet or at Jesus' feet. And the silent sister, I noticed, didn't say a word. She let Jesus do the talking. If your name's Mary today, I'd catch hold of that thing. She stayed at Jesus' feet. That's very important. And listen, if you're going to serve the Lord, one thing you're going to have to learn is that's the first part you do.
Amen.
You notice who was complaining? The one that didn't sit at Jesus' feet first. And every complaint by every servant of God comes from that very action right there. You get frustrated with people, you get frustrated with the ministry, you get frustrated with church, you get frustrated with how people act, you get frustrated with all these things, but ultimately it comes right back to that right there. The one that wasn't talking was the one listening. That's very profound. I wished I'd have said it first. Sing it again. I love you. Oh, not you meant that. Oh, I'm sorry. But the speaking sister, in verse 40, it says, "But Martha," it says, "was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." She, listen, this sister, the speaking sister, if you look at that word cumbered, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, the third definition, it means to be perplexed or to be embarrassed, to be distracted or troubled by something. What got this woman was, she was busy doing what had to be done. And that's where all the complaints come in, is because somebody who don't spend time with Jesus says, we got to do this, we ain't got time for this over here. But you'll notice what Jesus said, that Mary had done that good part, that part in verse 40 that's needful.
Yep.
He didn't care if dinner wasn't going to be on time. Oh, I like that. He didn't care if the work didn't get done. Let's look at the Word of God first. And I notice a lot of people get so involved in the service, they forget to spend time with the Savior. That's where the complaint department gets opened in the ministry. I noticed that she was busy doing what had to be done, and she was embarrassed that the Lord showed up and it wasn't done, so she jumped in to do it, and she wasn't getting any help from the other occupant there, which is her sister. Church people is just like that. They'll say, well, it's got to be done. They'll jump right in there and they'll complain about it and complain about it and complain about it and complain about it. And the first time they start talking to the Lord, they say, Lord, did you see what they did not help me. Will you make them help me? You say, that wouldn't happen to a good preacher. You think you're a better preacher than Peter? How many thousands have you had saved in one message? I take that back. How many thousands have you saved in your entire ministry that you saw saved while you were preaching? Peter only had 3,000 in his first good message. But just a chapter before that in your Bible, two chapters before that, Jesus told him one thing.
Yep.
Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? He's talking to a quitter and got him back into the ministry. And when he's telling him, you're going to have to die for me, you know what Peter said? Lord, I'm doing all this. What's John going to do? So don't go throwing off on women or just like that. Peter was like that too. Lord, what will this man do? And you know what Jesus' positive, no holds bar answer was to him? Do y'all remember what he said? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Mind your business. He wanted him to understand, you need to spend time with me and not worry about the rest of this world and what they're doing.
Hey.
I can't help that we're in the age of apostasy. I was just born here like you was. But I can't help this. I can quit looking at them and look this way and get everything done for him I need to be done and not have a complaining spirit about it. I noticed that she was embarrassed by what had not been done, and she was also distracted by what hadn't been done. And what hadn't been done was her own time spending time at Jesus' feet. It wasn't so much the work wasn't done here. She was spending time trying to get it done. She was embarrassed by it. She said, this troubles me. It kind of like when I come at your house and you say, preacher, I ain't cleaned up. Well, the Lord was there before I got there. You need to clean up before I get there. Besides, I'm not with the inspection crew. That's the Holy Ghost, and he already inspected before I ever showed up. So you need to apologize to the wrong one. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Why? Listen, I hear that so much, I'm thinking, I'm going to start wearing white gloves when I visit y'all's house. Look here. Need to get police this area right here. Because y'all think I'm doing that, but I'm not. I show up for dinner or something, ice cream or something. I don't show up to inspect. That's not me.
That's right.
That's Brother Kirsch. That's what he does. I don't do that. Well, Mr. Clean, you know, the whole thing, brother. I mean, you know. I'm the grandfatherly older figure, you know, that's kind and generous, you know, that guy. But I see a lot of people get in trouble. They get perplexed and they complain about the help they're not getting when they don't get help themselves. Can you imagine the difference this conversation being if there had been two sitting at Jesus' feet instead of one? Mm. Well, dinner wouldn't have been served. See, there's that spirit right there. There's that complaining right there. No, you need to do both.
Right.
And it wouldn't hurt her to spend time with Jesus' feet, then go do it, because then she would have maybe three people helping her. So who would have been the third one? The servant of servants sitting there giving out the word of God.
Right. Yep.
He said on his first coming, he came to serve. Is that right?
Yeah.
She wouldn't have just been over there complaining. She'd had two more sets of hands in there helping her get the job done. And I think that tells us a lesson. If we'd spend time with him, he'd come help us in the work more than we're getting right now. And quit complaining about who ain't doing what and get in there and say, you know what, Lord, this is what you've got for us right here. Let's do this thing right here. This makes much more sense, Lord. This works so much easier when you start helping us. And I'm speaking from the perspective, I pastored this church 2 years by myself before I ever got him involved in it. Then one day, something occurred to me. I was falling apart at 27 years old. 27-year-olds don't fall apart.
That's right.
I was still in the invincible stage in my physical life. What was going wrong? I was serving without spending time with the Savior. When God brought all that to my attention, I was like, well, Lord, I never thought about that. Had I heard it before? Sure. But I wasn't doing that. Not me. But then I was. So how'd that happen? There's a very real devil out there that will make sure you see what everybody else is doing before you can have time to spend time with Jesus and get everything done that you need to be done. I heard the word relentless about the devil, and I thought about that. I thought, boy, that's exactly what the devil is.
Right.
Listen, if God has a Bible, the devil has many Bibles. If God has a church, the devil has many churches.
Right.
If God has a plan of salvation, the devil has many plans of salvation.
Yeah.
And he will hit you and hit you and hit you and hit you and hit you to the point where you think, is the devil just after me? Does he ever bother any of y'all?
Come on. Yeah.
And you'll get so wrapped up in you, you'll say, Lord, what will this man do? You'll be the guy naked on the boat saying, I'll never quit you, Lord, and you're about there naked on that boat next. You know why he's like that? Because he had quit. You know why he quit? Because he kept watching everybody else. And then his BFF turned on Jesus. He said, Peter and Judas, the BFF, they all were with him. They couldn't even believe he turned on him. Because when Jesus said, one of y'all is going to betray me, what did they say?
Yeah.
Is it me? They never even thought it was Judas. And looking back with what the Bible writers gave us by the inspiration of God, there was enough clues there that it was him. Except one place in one gospel, it says Judas was the one questioning why this was spent. But in the other gospel, he had such influence, they all were doing it.
Yep.
One guy got 12 other guys, or 11 other guys to follow him in the complaint department because he wasn't spending time with Jesus. Don't miss that. That happens to everybody. The time you spend away from Jesus is the time the devil will take and turn you against him and all his followers. You'll think there's nobody but you going through it. I love it when people tell me, you just don't know how it is. I know how it is. Listen, we've had to scrape pennies up and buy groceries with them. I've had to flip an outline over and write on that side because I have money to buy pen or paper for another one.
Oh.
I know how it is. And I know this. When he's bringing you through that, the complaint department's open and you're the only one putting pieces of paper in it.
Oh.
Why? You're not spending time with him. You spend time with him, you have a sweeter spirit about you.
Yeah.
Listen to this. She was distracted by her service away from the Savior, so therefore we see the notable thing about service with her was the complaints by Martha. But thank God the Lord don't say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to let you stew in your juices. I'm going to let you do something like that, and I'm going to let you keep on complaining the rest of your life. In fact, the Lord don't take joy in your complaints in seeing you like that.
Right.
He don't, listen, he's not the master of misery.
Right.
He wants you to be able to take something else, which is a notable thing in his service, and that's the counsel by Jesus. Jesus wants you to listen to him.
Right.
She done that thing which was needful, talking about Mary, and because she done that, we have verse 41. It's verse 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. He called her out twice. Martha, Martha. All I know is when somebody calls my name out twice and talking to me, you know what I hear? I'm Southern, so you know what I hear? Bless his heart.
Uh-oh.
I know it's coming. Whatever's next, I bless his heart. Ministry's coming. Martha, Martha, he says this, thou art careful and troubled about many things. I see a setup coming. He's done told her what she's doing, what she's right in. She's right about that. She was troubled about many things, and he's just told her the truth. And looking to that, the trouble of service, she was troubled because of what was not done, and she was troubled because of who was not doing it. She was troubled of why she had this problem, and she didn't even realize she had a problem. Most complainers never do. They're complaining about everybody else. In reality, the problem's here. Now, Lord, you know how that crowd is, but Lord's not dealing with them. He's dealing with you. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get her close to him.
Right.
And by doing that, he shows her something that really, really helps her out. If you look at verse 42, but one thing is needful. You go looking up one thing in the Bible, you're going to run into some stuff. This one thing I do, Paul said, one thing is needful. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The trouble of service is when you try to spend it away from Jesus, but he says, all right, I'm going to take care of you. I see where you're at. Instead of throwing you out like the baby with the bathwater, I'm going to keep the baby and throw the water out and towel off the baby. And he deals with the truth of service, and the truth is this. Number one, we worship the Lord in two ways, spirit and truth. John 4:23 says God is a capital S spirit. God the Father is sitting on a throne somewhere in this universe, outside this universe, in heaven, and on that throne sits a spiritual being. Right now, inside your saved heart, there's another spiritual being that's the same God that sits on that throne. That's the Holy Ghost of God. He's as much God as God the Father is. He's a spirit. Beside the spiritual being sitting in heaven is God sitting in the flesh right beside him, God manifest in the flesh, the person of Jesus Christ, who is both as much God as God the Father and God the Holy Ghost is.
Right.
You got two-thirds one thing and one-third the other thing, one God.
Amen.
One God. But get this, while looking at that, we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and it doesn't say, he says we worship the Lord in spirit and truth, that second S is not capitalized, and there's a reason being. That's that spirit inside you, he born again. It was dead in trespasses and sins, but he birthed that thing in again, and now it's been quickened, that which was dead. It's been made alive, and now that it's alive, the line's open again. Now we can talk to God again, just like before, and like before Adam fell in the Garden of Eden. Now the communication line's open. Now we can worship the big S because the little S is alive. We worship him in spirit and in truth.
Right.
This bunch that jumps around and hops around and says, oh, we worshiping in the Holy Ghost. You are not worshiping in the Holy Ghost. You are making a mock of people who have all kind of physical problems that you claim are devil possession. They believe that about my daughter. I have the punching in the face ministry for anybody who wants to say that. You say you ought not be a striker. I wouldn't dare for my life. But I've got deacons in this building right now, and men and women alike, who would gladly step up and take my place for that so I wouldn't have to be a striker. But I might just swing, and they might be just happen to be standing where I swing, and I don't know. You never know how these things are going to work out. But I do know this. I do know this. All that play acting and foolishness is not spirit. It's flesh. I read in the Bible when Jesus showed up and spoke to the lost people, they fell backwards. That's very important. You that watch Christian television, they go that way, don't they? Tell me how them people saved whenever lost men in the Bible fell backwards. And get this, he never touched them. He just spoke and they fell backwards. Observe the scriptures. Pay no attention to them people behind the curtain trying to put on a show. Besides, didn't your parents teach you that everything on TV was probably fake anyway? You don't really believe in people on the guiding lights really married, do you? And cheating on one another. They all actors. And I heard all the men was like that. So they really have an act. Mm-hmm. And you women lusting after them. Shame on you. Listen, the counsel by Jesus was the truth of service. We worship God in spirit, and we worship him in truth, and we serve the Lord in two ways as well. I typed the phrase serve the Lord into a search engine on my Bible program, and out of the 24 times in the Bible, I ran into this. Psalm 2 verse 11 says, serve the Lord with fear. That's one way we serve the Lord. Same way we serve our parents. You know what the fear is? If I don't take the trash out, he'll crack the whip across my backside. Yeah. I was growing up, my grandmother said, I'd never whip you with a belt. I think that's inhuman. Grandpa didn't believe that. But Grandpa told me, I would never take a switch to you. I think that's just cruel. And Grandma would stripe you like you'd look like a candy cane when she got done with you. Listen, this business about wearing shorts, I may have scars all over my legs. That might be why I don't wear them, not just because it's in the Bible, but because I might have some, you know, lasting damage. And I wouldn't want you to think bad of my grandmother. I may have healed up since then, but the mental scars are there. But there was a fear there. If they said, go do this, you went and done that thing, and you served out of fear. You loved them, but there's a fear if I don't do it, something might happen. See? You see that? Do you still love them? Sure you do. Amen. But you serve out of fear. And secondly, in Psalm 100, verse 2, listen to this one. Serve the Lord with gladness. I don't have to be here doing this. I get to. I don't have to pray. I get to. I don't want to neglect praying. You know why? I get to talk to God, the one true God. I ain't worried about these Muslims and all that. I ain't worried about the Buddhists. I ain't worried about the Mormons. Why? I get to talk to God. I learned a long time ago, we're talking to God Almighty by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, where he opened up the channels of communication. We got birthed into the family again, and he's not just my God. He's also, I say, Father, before I start talking to him, because I want to get his attention. Do you know in the Bible, in Malachi, it says he leans over to listen to us? If he's going to listen, I want to tell him what he wants to hear, not what I want to tell him. Amen. Now listen, we serve the Lord with fear. We serve the Lord with gladness. We gladly get to do this. We get to do what God called us to do because we do it out of fear, but we do it out of gladness because out of all the things he could have told us, he told us what to do. And notice this. When we serve him with gladness, it says, come before his presence with singing. So we serving him with gladness, we serving him with fear, and we come before his presence with singing. We get to worship him in spirit and in truth because he birthed that spirit alive into us. He gave us the truth of the word of God. And Jesus said Mary was doing that thing which is needful. What was needful? To get that word of God in here so she'd know how to serve the Lord with fear, with gladness, how to worship him in spirit, how to worship him in truth, and how to do all those things according to the perfect will of God.
Amen.
But yet, complaining and Martha sitting right over there beside you. Lord, you know how they are. They won't help me. They won't help me. Spend time with Jesus, Martha, and then you'd understand something. You get that word of God in you, you work around people that's not doing nothing if they're still not doing nothing. You know why? Listen, some of you good Christian folk, you go to your job, you got to do everything. You know why? Because ain't nobody else will.
That's right.
Don't complain about it. Colossians chapter 3 says that you serve in whatever service you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. God's got you there to do that. Because he can depend on you, not your boss. Now watch. I look at that phrase, serve the Lord, showing up 23 times in the Old Testament and only one time in the New Testament, and it identifies who the Lord is. In Colossians 3:24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Did I just mention inheritance?
Amen.
That's what you get for serving the Lord.
Amen.
Down the road it pays off really well.
Yes, sir.
There's five crowns a believer can have. Five. So what'll that be good for? Well, if you have a crown, it's because you're going to rule and reign somewhere. This bunch that don't believe the rapture's happened, guess what? If they're saved at all, they're going to be working for you. I pray the Lord help everybody that watches somebody throw trash out on the side of the road and a bunch of people laughing going on. I pray God saves them and puts them under your watch, and you'll be over the sanitation department making sure they pick up every piece of trash for a 1,000-year millennial reign while you rule and reign with Jesus over the fact.
Amen.
Say amen. Somebody's under conviction for throwing stuff out. Quit doing that, please. You might be the guy picking it up for 1,000 years. We won't get jobs in heaven, by the way. Just want to throw that in there. And because we won't have, that's your eternal resting place. But that 1,000-year millennial reign, there'll be work to be done. And somebody's got to be over that work. And somebody's got to do that work. Amen, friend. Here's the good part. If we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ and we get an inheritance, I wonder what that inheritance might be but all of heaven. I've noticed when people died, when Lisa's grandmother died, they lived in the house right here that was 100 years old. But when grandma died next door, they moved into the very nice brick home next door that was very new at the time and all that other stuff. See, when somebody dies, they give you what they have, right? That's inheritance. They only do that because you are something to them.
Right.
You were enough. Jesus died for you. That he got up from the grave for you. And when you die, he's going to give you everything.
Amen. Right.
Serve the Lord with fear. Serve the Lord with gladness. I'm going to spend time with him now because he did something for me before I was ever even born that I'd never be able to pay back if I had all the money in the world.
That right.
Now notice this one. If we're going to serve him, I got to ask this question. How do you serve the Lord? Do you serve the Lord with gladness? Or do you always complain about everybody else doing what you're doing? You got to serve the Lord with gladness. Or do you just serve out of resentment because you serve him without spending time with him? So you need to get a prayer list together, and the prayer list, before it ever mentions your name, needs to mention everybody else's name first.
That's right.
But listen, family, friends, etc. But before you start all them, put another F above that says Father and spend time with him before you start doing all that.
Amen.
I know people can't spend 8 hours in prayer a day. I understand that. Some people just don't have the time to do that, bless your heart. But that little 2-minute prayer, now lay me down to sleep, that was cool when you was 3 years old. But you how old now? You know better now? Spend time with him. Don't read your Bible so you can say that you read your Bible. Don't study your Bible so you can say, I studied my Bible. Do it to spend time with him. Listen, this Bible commands us looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In Luke 24, he opened up the book and showed him himself in these pages. That's who we're looking for. So I don't see him when I read it. Keep reading, keep studying, keep looking. And if that don't work, try stopping back and say, Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Memorize that verse and come there and say, Lord, help us with that. The very next chapter, he's going to teach them how to pray. And one thing he teaches them, give us day by day our daily bread in Luke chapter 11, verse 3. Do you know I preached on that one time and somebody accused me of using a false Bible? Somebody said they read their Bible all day long, prayed all day long, sang songs to the Lord all day long. But use them in funny Bibles. Verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. You say, that don't sound right. You're thinking of Matthew. I'm reading Luke.
Yep.
If you spend time in your Bible, you know that though, right?
Come on.
You remember that? Ain't that crazy? I'm not just King James only. I'm only King James. I don't play with that. That's not something that we debate on, negotiate with. I don't even like to listen to that crowd. Why? Because they don't tell the truth. They're too busy preaching Calvinism. There used to be a guy on the radio for my radio program. Every week I'd hear him. And that concludes the sheep food broadcast where the word of God was given to the sheep and to the sheep only. In this book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10, he come to seek and to save that which is lost. How shall they hear without a preacher? I read that this morning. And I listened to all that, and I hear them guys say that. And I thought, boy, they need to spend some time with Jesus. They need to spend some time with him. Because they quit looking for John Calvin, they might see Jesus. Amen. Listen, how do you serve the Lord? Is it in spirit? Is it in fear? Is it with gladness? Or do you resent everybody that's doing what you're doing? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we do.